You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Higher Things is wrapping up 2 weeks of conferences in St. Louis and heading to Fort Collins, Colorado for the last conference of the summer. Today, we get to catch up with executive leadership and learn about what youth are learning in this summer's conferences and what's on deck for the fall and next year as well. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine by visiting cui.edu. Joining me today, the Reverend Harrison Goodman, his Executive Director of Mission and Theology for Higher Things. Pastor Goodman, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Also more of the executive team, Kristen Sanchez. She's Executive Director of Operations for Higher Things. Kristen, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Patrick Sturdivant, he is Executive Director of Relations for Higher Things. Patrick, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So we have the executive leadership of Higher Things in the studio. Got to hang out on campus a little bit last week, and that is coming up in a Set Apart to Serve conversation, sharing with our listeners as well. So we had one opportunity to record on campus, and now roped you guys into the studio. It's nice and air-conditioned in here today,
That's
though.
Lovely.
So.
Especially when you step outside.
Yep. So thanks for coming over to studio here in St. Louis. And I know you guys are headed to Fort Collins, Colorado next, which is kind of exciting. Different altitude, maybe not as humid there as
not
it is
as humid,
in St. Louis.
A little bit drier, yeah, but not 80% humidity.
Right? It's going to be beautiful.
So, Patrick, what happens at a Higher Things conference?
You know, we're going into year 26 now. I can't even remember the number of conferences we've had, but our conferences run Tuesday through Friday and they are centered around the word. We have worship services. We have plenary master learning sessions. And then we have breakaways with over 1,000 youth, sometimes just a little short of 750. We have sold out conferences last week and this week at Washington University. So the youth, young adults and parents and pastors and chaperones get to go. They get to be immersed in the word and hear Christ crucified shouted directly into their ears throughout all aspects of the day.
Why is it important to have conferences like this today for both the youth and for those who care for them?
There are so many scary things going on in the world. And so many things that I think can distract the youth and young adults of our churches out from what really matters. Just law, gospel, ministry, hearing Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of sins, what really matters. And this gives congregations and pastors a week where they can be immersed in the word with their youth and kind of show them like, hey, I know everything is happening when we get back home, but for this 1 week, let's take a step back. Let's focus. Let's study together. Let's learn together. Let's worship together. And it, like we like to reflect on, this is what's happening every Sunday in their congregations. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday they have the same worship services. They hear and learn from their pastor. The pastors forgiving them their sins are the same pastors that forgive them their sins on Sunday morning. And that is so important for us to be able to give them an opportunity to step outside of their normal lives, but also say, you have this 52 weeks every Sunday of the year too.
The conferences take place in a variety of parts of the country. You mentioned that the conferences taking place here in St. Louis, usually like, you know, this particular location, about 750, mm-hmm. maxing out at registration for that, sometimes around 1,000 at a site. What are the advantages of having smaller conferences like this in regions across the country?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we've had up to 1,600 at a conference before, and we've had as low as 200 at a conference before. And with that 750 to 1,200 is really that sweet spot where you see someone and you recognize them and you can see them throughout the week and continue to build relationships. And we have kids from across the country that build relationships with one another, pastors that are able to see their friends and interact with their friends and continue to be centered in the word together.
And even more than that, we actually get to care for souls in a much more one-on-one environment, because when there are 750 to 1,000, and if you have a burning question, if something was broken open by what was taught or what was preached, you have the opportunity to go and, yeah. and talk more with that pastor or that church worker and learn more and find more comfort in God's word.
Mm-hmm. And having them in a setting like this, they usually take place on a college campus or a similar environment that where everything all, for the most part, happens on campus.
All contained.
Yes.
It makes it much easier to run normally.
And when you're in a location like St. Louis or Fort Collins or other cities that you visit, how do you connect with the local community when you're there, Kristen?
Oh, it's fantastic. So we've been partnering with local congregations to find out what is currently going on within that space. And so when we're here in St. Louis, we've got so many RSOs that we can connect with. But this week and next, or last week and this week, we've been working with the Christian Friends of New Americans, which is an RSO that serves refugees coming into America, establishing them with supplies that they need and housing and language services and things like that, which has been a really great way to not only give back to the people around us, but then also to show our youth that are there that this is just part of a Christian life. We serve, we give, we do what we can. When we're in Fort Collins, we're going to be partnering with a pregnancy center and putting together little gift bags for new and expecting mothers. So it's really special to be able to allow our kids to see this is what the body of Christ does. We care for the people around us.
I'm so glad you were able to connect with CFNA here in St. Louis while you're here. We really appreciate the work that they do and love to partner with them when we can as well. Did you get a chance to see any of the work that they do or learn about that, meet any of the CFNA folks?
My coordinator went and spent a little time with them. She's just spoken so highly of their team, and they've been so welcoming to us, and it's been really great combination.
Good. Glad you had the opportunity to connect with them here in St. Louis. And as you're wrapping up your time here, knowing that you leave a little bit of something for them behind as well with putting together those packages for the students as well. These are supplies for the students?
Yeah, there's like art kits and things like that that they're putting together.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Goodman, tell us about this year's conference theme, Dying Church, Rising Hope.
Dying Church, Rising Hope, because it's probably time to talk about the elephant in the room, Andy. The narrative about the state of the church is ever present and, quite frankly, more often than not spoken about inside of the church with a little bit of like embarrassment. It's like you're explaining your uncle at Thanksgiving, and it's not always a helpful stance. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the fact that first, if Jesus has promised to build the gates or build the church against the gates of hell, hell's going to be hot. We're going to be assaulted by the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh. And so the things that you measure need to be different than, are you close to the world, or is the devil assaulting you, or are there sinners there? Because of course the church is going to look a little bit run down if it's built against the gates of hell. But the thing is, there are things that are supposed to die in church. We have a death and resurrection church. We have a church that only exists to proclaim and distribute the good gifts of God in word and sacrament that are rooted in Christ's death and resurrection. And so as the church struggles this side of glory, that's not all there is. And that's not all there is to measure. In fact, it's a good thing that daily old Adam would die in church. It's a good thing that my pride and my ego and my expectations for worldly power would die inside of the church, because the thing that rises is Christ, who has conquered sin and death. It is Christ who daily and richly forgives us our sins. And so we brought together a whole bunch of kids that in some cases are from rural small congregations where they might be the only youth, where they might hear over and over again that it's up to them to carry the church forward another generation. And they get to hear, no, it exists because Christ has established it, and it will exist until the last day. And all of those things that we want to measure inside of that church, if they don't look like death and resurrection, you're measuring the wrong thing. But if the death and the resurrection are there given for you, you have a lot to hope in.
So what then, what are the ways that that theme really shapes what happens at the conference each year? What does that look like this year with Dying Church, Rising Hope?
So when Jesus tells Peter that he will build the church against the gates of hell and hell will not prevail against it, the very next thing that he gives Peter is the absolution. Whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whoever sins you retain will be retained. And it's almost like he's God or something and knows that Peter's about to put his foot in his mouth again and say, like, you know, about that whole going into Jerusalem to die and rise again thing, I have a way better idea. And he has to be told that famous line, get behind me, Satan. The first thing our kids hear when they get to conference is the divine service. We start with the forgiveness of sins. We build out of the good gifts of God. We sing, built on the rock, the church will stand. Even when the steeples are falling, it's wonderful to be in St. Louis. It's wonderful to be in a mass of youth that are singing so loud you can't hear your own voice. But it has to only last a week. And they have to go back home. The thing that shapes what they're doing here is that this is not a replacement for their church back home, but it's an amplification, a magnification of just how wonderful their church back home is, even if the trappings of it might seem a little bit quieter. We root them firmly in the good gifts of God. And then we talk about it. From worship, we move into plenary. From plenary, we move into, well, games. And we'll be back. And we pray the evening prayers, the complines. We pray the matins and the vespers. We have a plethora of breakout sessions on just the whole counsel of God, taught by parish pastors, taught by church workers. The synod has been wonderful, and we've gotten to have some of the wonderful teachers here in St. Louis come and be a part of this. Dr. Jason Lane from CSL is teaching a continuing ed class for our pastors. We grow together in God's word so that when we go back, we recognize that Peter got to see a lot of really cool things. He got to go up on the mount to see the transfiguration, but he had to go back down the mountain. He had to endure between Maundy Thursday and through the denials. He got to watch his Lord die as he hid, denying his even existence, so that upon the resurrection, an angel would tell Mary, go and tell the disciples, and especially Peter, that you'll see him again in Galilee, just as he promised you. You have to go back home, but at the same time, you carry a whole lot with you. So that's what we do here.
We're talking with our friends from Higher Things, executive leadership of Higher Things, about what happens at Higher Things conferences. And we're also going to get the scoop on what's coming up with Higher Things as well. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Today, we are talking with executive leadership of Higher Things. They are wrapping up 2 weeks of conferences here in St. Louis and headed to Fort Collins, Colorado for one more week of Dying Church Rising Hope, the summer conferences for Higher Things. All right. So I think I've got a pretty good scoop. I have had the privilege of attending Higher Things conferences as well. And we were talking about worship. And I think, is it fair to describe worship, divine service, and the praying the offices as both humble and robust and humble? Would that be a fair way? Or maybe you have another way of describing it.
No, I think that's exactly it, because we don't do anything different than what they'll see in their congregations on Sunday. It's like Goodman said, it's just a little bit louder. I really like that. Pastor Goodman, when you said they're so loud you can't hear yourself sing, that radiates truth. Because I personally am not a good singer, so I'll definitely take that. But no, they what they experience, it directs them back to their home altar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something special that we've been able to add in this year too is that when our conference day falls on a feast day or a festival day of the church, we've been able to recognize that with nice. The different color pyramids and a special set of propers for that matins or vespers service or whatever that day. So these worship services that, you're right, are exactly the same as what they receive at home, straight out of the book, but we get to teach through them as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's not only receiving, though of course that's first and foremost, the gifts of God are received during that time, but we also get to take that and then teach our youth and young adults who gather too.
All right. All of you have been involved with Higher Things for some time now, especially conferences. Your favorite part of the conference, and you can't say all of it. Favorite part of the Higher Things conference, Pastor Goodman?
My favorite part is after we're done teaching and we get to teach some more. my favorite part is the snot crying. Like the cute crying that people will do, because like you can get like the right amount of attention if you cute cry because it's cute. A snot cry is different, and you don't want attention because stuff is coming out of your face and it's disgusting. And you're just like, when a snot cry happens, it's really real. My favorite part of conferences is a good snot cry, because we've talked about the thing that you have carried around with you in fear and guilt and shame for altogether too long, and you've heard Christ crucified for it, and then you get to talk some more. I got to talk with a kid once who carried around a longboard with her in conference, even though there was no room to ride it because there were 1,000 kids. She carried it because she needed to be the kid who had a longboard. And so those aren't the kids who just snot cry for fun. They care what people think of them. You can joke about the ones who don't shower enough, but, listen, this kid was here to be seen. But she snot cried, because she told me she didn't want to come to conference because she got in a big fight with her mom the day before it started because she had decided to become an atheist. And she had decided to become an atheist because she did not want to believe in a God who would call her best friend condemned for being a lesbian. And so we got to talk, and we got to talk about law, and we got to talk about gospel. And so I said, dear friend, do you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead? And she said, well, yeah. And I said, so you're not an atheist, but like, let's set aside the term for just a second and talk a little bit more. This Jesus who rose from the dead, what did he do first? It's sort of a big deal to see him alive again come, you know, Sunday morning. Well, he died on the cross. Well, did he die on the cross for everyone or just for some people? Is it, you know, for God so loved the world except you guys over there that he gave his only begotten son? Well, no, it's for everybody. And so God died for your friend. God wants you to forgive your friend. In fact, the whole issue with all of this is really actually wrapped up in that word that she used, that she identifies as gay. To identify as something is, it means if there's only one thing in the world to know about me, please know this one thing. And it's like, do you like soccer? There's a World Cup right now. Or can we talk about music? Or is literally this the only thing to your whole personhood? And even the people who are wrestling with this in any capacity would say, no, there's a lot more to me than that. So let's talk about that, because the idea that I have to talk to you about now is identity. That if you only know one thing about me, please know that I'm baptized. Please know that Jesus died for this sinner, because the more you get to know me, the less you're going to like me. I'm terrible. And this also means then that when it comes to those things that you wake up every morning and fight with, even wake up with those things every morning and you're not sure you even want to fight, your identity can be in Christ. So let's talk about whether or not we want to hold on to the one thing that Jesus wants to take away or find comfort in him. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a hard fight. But at the same time, this is not condemnatory. This is invitation. And we got to just do the same thing that every pastor everywhere, every church worker does everywhere, law and gospel, but law and gospel for you, for this, in a way that changes lives. And so that's my favorite.
And that's one of the things I love to see there too, is that, you know, Pastor Goodman, who's one of the staff of Higher Things, gets to go around and have these conversations. But what I love is watching the pastors and the adult leaders engage with their kids, outside, just in the commons or in the quad or on their way walking from class to class, because as one of our speakers said this last week, God wants there to be a church, and that church is built around word, sacrament, ministry, and the pastor who is called to actually speak these words of forgiveness and wrestle with these things, with these kids anywhere and everywhere. So yes, thanks be to God that happens within the four walls of a building of a church, but thanks be to God that happens, that they have their pastors and their leaders and the ones who are given to them in that vocation to wrestle with these things anywhere. And that is such a joy for me to watch.
I'm blessed because I attended as a youth, and now I have the pleasure of serving as one of the executive directors, and I get to see kids have the same experiences that I had as a youth for an organization that helped shape me. And so many pastors and presenters, my own pastor, that helped shape me. And now I get to see kids and young adults having those same exact interactions. I see them having lunch with their pastor and deep in theological conversation, or belting hymns out at the beginning or at the beginning of divine service when they might not have been singing for the rest of the week, but now they finally feel comfortable. I've had those same experiences, and that's every single year it gets me. It really does.
So what's on deck for post-conference season? After you get to catch your breath for a minute.
First, we're going to rest.
First,
we're going to take a break, right? They are such privileges to be able to run. We love doing these, but they're exhausting. And so we'll take a nap for sure. At the end of July, actually, we've got our 7th or 8th annual confirmation camp, where we partner with Camp Iodiseka in Solon, Iowa. That's Eastern Iowa, where our kids get to come together. And it's essentially like a Higher Things conference, but directed more for our catechumens. And so our confirmation students will come either in groups or individually, and they get to learn from a pastor, and they get to worship, and they get to pray the propers of the day. But then they also get to zip line, and they get to horseback ride and canoe and things like that. And so that is a very cool event that we have. And that's running the end of July, the 28th through the 30th of this year. And then in October, we're actually very excited for, our third annual Higher Things HT Beyond event. And we're going to be having a young adult event. So HT Beyond is an initiative that Higher Things has begun, recognizing that our kids have come through conferences for years and they have a place of both safety and challenge where they can ask these hard questions. And it's been so joyful to be able to watch them through those years doing that. But then they go beyond those conferences. And so we want to go beyond as well with them. So our young adult arm of Higher Things is called HT Beyond. And we are going to be gathering in partnership with YA for Life, which is the young adult arm of Lutherans for Life, in October at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And we have an event called Defending Life. And that is October 23rd through the 25th. And we are going to be gathering for a weekend with teaching led by Michelle Bauman, who is an amazing speaker on life issues. And Pastor Goodman here is going to be leading us through worship. And the idea is the apologetics of why it matters to even know how to defend life. And appropriately, we opened registration for that on June 25th, the presentation, the Augsburg Confession. And so we are going to be gathering. There's tons of information online for that, and we can't wait to join together for that.
Good. And that's higherthings.org.
Higherthings.org. Absolutely.
Find it under events on the events tab.
HT
you can
Beyond.
Find HT Beyond and all the great things. Another great thing on the website, I believe it's under events, is Retreat in a Box. I know we've talked mm-hmm. about this before, but a quick recap of Retreat in a Box might be handy for
yeah.
those who are listening, maybe looking for a fall retreat idea.
Yeah, Retreat in a Box is a really cool product that we have out there where it's essentially we give you a download and Retreat in a Box will allow you to run a retreat at your conference. You've got plenary sessions included in there. You've got game ideas. You've got planning schedules. You've got budget ideas. You've got worship services and a whole bulletin available for download. And yeah, it just allows you to be able to take all of the good things of Higher Things and put it on in your own conference or in your own space. And it is meant to work for you. So that's a very cool event that we have out there.
All right. What can we share about next year's summer conferences for Higher Things?
Drum roll, please.
I think we can share most, if not all of it.
We're pretty excited.
Pastor Goodman, why don't you talk about our theme?
Our theme is Torah. We're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. We're going to talk about the revelation of God, the teaching of God, because here's the sort of reality about the Ten Commandments, about the law that God gives. If you're going to see it done right, probably don't look at me, probably look at Jesus. So, I mean, if you wanted to see what living inside of the fifth commandment, for example, looked like, he's doing a better job of it than I am. I'm doing my best. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But the law actually paints a picture of Jesus. And the gospel paints a picture of me. The law paints a picture of Jesus, not only because he's the one who fulfills it, but because the law is a good gift from God. And so when he gives it, he gives good gifts behind it. Even inside of the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. God insists that he actually wants to be God. You. He wants to be your God. Don't go find other gods. Those gods can't help you anyway. Instead, look to the one true source of all good gifts. If there's dinner being served at 6 and it's steak and you find Cheetos in the couch cushions, don't eat those. They're not helpful. Instead, look to the true God. When we find that the Ten Commandments painting a picture of Jesus, the law turns into a gift instead of a burden, because we know that we live far short of it. We all are made sinners by it. But if the law paints a picture of Jesus, who wants to be farther from Jesus? And so here's where it becomes now a lamp to our feet. We actually get to see that sin breaks stuff. And so we struggle against it, even though we sin and fail daily. But we see the law as a good gift from God, chiefly because it shows us Jesus. And so as we tackle the Ten Commandments, as we tackle the uses of the law, as we tackle the distinction between the moral and the ceremonial law, we find over and over again God to be a good gift giver. We get to find a hope in a God who not only gives us a good gift in the law, but fulfills us for it and calls us to rejoice inside of it.
Very good. Great theme, Torah. Mm-hmm. And where do we know dates?
We do. We know dates. We know locations.
All right.
You know them now.
We get to know them.
I get to tell them to you.
Right.
It's very exciting. So we are very excited to return to Concordia University in Wisconsin at Mequon, Wisconsin. That's going to be June 22nd through the 25th of 2027. And then a week later, you had mentioned this year, we're going to Colorado State University in a couple weeks. We're actually going to be going back there again next year. That's going to be June 29th through July 2nd, 27. That's Colorado State University in Fort Collins. And then we're going to finish out our season at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, Illinois, and that's going to be July 20th through the 23rd. So three conferences, plenty of spaces, though I will say those Concordias fill up fast, so make sure you get on those. Our registration information will come out in October, beginning of October, and registration opens November 1st, so be ready for that.
Very good. All Saints Day registration begins. You do this on purpose, don't you? You schedule registration to open on
particular
commemorations
about.
And feasts as well. All right. So, Pastor, how do all of these events, conferences, retreats, camps, how do all these events help make the gifts of Christ Jesus known to youth and young adults?
Well, we give Jesus to sinners. Our sinners are teenagers. But we make known the gifts of Christ Jesus to youth and young adults chiefly by running headfirst at the problem with the hope of the gospel. Every single event, every single conference, every single Bible study, every single resource or video or book that Higher Things produces is rooted in your small catechism. It is going to run headfirst at a problem somewhere rooted in sin, death, or the devil, and find hope in Christ who is crucified for you.
HigherThings.org. You can find out all about all the events happening. Now, October is when you can find out. You heard it first here on the Coffee Hour, by the way, for the 2027 conferences.
Yep.
But you can find out more about them. Registration opens November 1st. You can learn a little bit more about that in October on HigherThings.org. My guest today, the Reverend Harrison Goodman, Executive Director of Mission and Theology for Higher Things. Pastor Goodman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Kristen Sanchez, she's Executive Director of Operations for Higher Things. Kristen, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
And Patrick Sturdivant, he is Executive Director of Relations for Higher Things. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys.
It's been fun hanging out with you guys a little bit this week at Higher Things conferences here in St. Louis. Thanks for coming over to the studio. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.